Bug now broadcasting in English.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. Coming up in today's show, in a fresh edition of Czech Books, David Vaughan looks at the life and work of the great Bengali poet Rabindranath Tagore, who has a special significance for Czechs. Then we'll hear the latest news from Czech science, and later on we bring back our popular mini-series from the archives. All that coming your way over the next half hour, and first we turn to literature. This year is the 150th anniversary of the birth of the great Bengali poet Rabindranath Tagore, the first non-European to win the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1913. Tagore has a special significance for Czechs, as we find out in this week's Czech Books with David Vaughan.
I'm in Takurova Street in Prague 6, which is well known in the city as it houses many of the buildings of Prague's Technical University. Now, Takurova Street is named after the Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore. And just in front of me here is a bust of the poet. He's portrayed as a bearded figure, as we know him from portraits in his later life, and there's an inscription with his name, and it also says Bengali artist, philosopher and theoretician, born the 6th of May 1861, died the 7th of August 1941. The reason why there's a bust of Tagore here is because he had a very special relationship to Czechoslovakia. And to find out more, I'm about to talk to Dr. Dušan Zbavitel, who is probably the Czech Republic's foremost expert on the Bengali language, literature and culture. And he points out that Rabindranath Tagore was a man with amazingly broad gifts.
Tagore was not only a poet and a writer. He was, one can say, a Renaissance personality in this respect, that he was a great composer. He founded a new style of Indian music called Rabindra Sangeet, which is still popular in India. He was a great painter. He was also a pedagogue and so on. He even founded an agricultural school.
Tagore's poetry is highly lyrical, with a strong spiritual thread, although it would be wrong to describe him as a mystic poet. He came from a prominent Bengali family, and his writings draw from many sources, including Bengali, classical and rural tradition. But he was also educated in the European classics. Humanism runs through his work, along with a pervading sense of optimism, two qualities that appealed strongly to many writers, artists and intellectuals in the newly emerging Czechoslovak Republic after World War I.
Mind without fear. Where the mind is without fear and the head is held high, where knowledge is free, where the world has not been broken up into fragments by narrow domestic walls, where words come out from the depth of truth, where tireless striving stretches its arms towards perfection, where the clear stream of reason has not lost its way into the dreary desert sand of dead habit, where the mind is led forward by thee into ever-widening thought and action, into that heaven of freedom, my father, let my country awake.
These lines come from Tagore's most famous collection, Gitanjali, in the poet's own translation. Czech interest in Indian culture and language goes back as far as the early days of the so-called Czech National Revival, over 150 years ago.
The knowledge of Indian languages is very, very old in Czech countries. For instance, some so-called enlighteners of the beginning of the 19th century knew and studied Sanskrit, Dobrovsky, Jungmann, and other personalities considered it a duty to get acquainted with Sanskrit. So the tradition of the interest in India was in our country very old and very vivid. I don't know what was the reason of this, nobody knows, but we consider it that India was very sympathetic for Czech people as a country under a foreign rule. It was English colony until 1947, and Czech was still the First World War under Austria-Hungary. So there were these mutual sympathies, yeah? And our people also very much followed the fight of India for freedom, for political freedom.
The father of Indian studies in Prague was Vincenz Lesný, who in the first half of the 20th century built up the study of Indian languages at the Charles University, along with Moritz Vinternitz from Prague's German University. Lesný became a good friend of Tagore, and both he and Vinternitz were invited to India to lecture at the Vishwa Bharati University that Tagore set up in Bengal. Lesný was also responsible for the two visits that Tagore paid to Prague in the 1920s. Among the many Czechs who went to hear him speak was the composer Leoš Janáček. Dušan's Babitel picks up the story.
He came twice to Prague. He came in May 1921 only to Prague. He did not visit any other town because his visit was rather short. But during this short visit, he delivered two public lectures, one of them in Lucerna, which was completely sold out, and his lecture was very well received. That's when Janáček met him. Janáček wrote at that time for our Lidové noviny, such a column as he used to do, in which he put down the intonation of Tagore's recitation of Bengali poetry.
Ami je dekhechi gopona hingsha kopoto ratri chhaye hereche nishcho hoy. Ami je dekhechi protikarhin shaktire aporade.
Tagore's language, here in a rare recording of the poet himself, inspired Janáček to compose one of his best-known choral pieces, the Potulný šílenec, The Wandering Madman, for male choir and soprano solo, which puts a story from Tagore's book The Gardener to music.
A wandering madman was seeking the touchstone, with matted locks tawny and dust-laden, and body worn to a shadow, his lips tight-pressed, like the shut-up doors of his heart, his burning eyes like the lamp of a glowworm seeking its mate. Before him the endless ocean roared. The garrulous waves ceaselessly talked of hidden treasures, mocking the ignorance that knew not their meaning.
Janáček was not the only Czech composer to take inspiration from Tagore. Several of Josef Bohuslav Foerster's Milostné písně, or love songs, also put his poetry to music. There is little evidence of Tagore himself having taken a particular interest in Czech music and literature, but he was very actively interested in political life in Czechoslovakia, especially in the face of growing extremism in Europe.
He was considered by everybody here, nearly everybody, as an ambassador of peace and understanding between nations, between states. This was his message. He was the first president of the Indian League Against Fascism, a great enemy of Nazism and Hitler and Mussolini and so on. And that's why also His works were not allowed to be published during the Second World War, yeah, when we had the protectorate here.
On Christmas Eve 1937, the celebrated Czech writer Karel Čapek sent a message over the airwaves to Tagore in Shantiniketan in Bengal, and at the same time, the inventor of the arc lamp, František Křižík, sent a message to Einstein in Princeton, a gesture of solidarity among democratic nations, all broadcast live to Czechoslovak radio listeners. This is the only surviving recording that features Čapek's voice.
All Czechoslovak stations, calling British India, Shantiniketan University. Karel Čapek is addressing a message of goodwill and understanding to Rabindranath Tagore, Shantiniketan.
Mr. Thakure, harmonický hlase východu, zdravíme vás se vašem Shantiniketanu. Zdravíme vás Československa, kde nyní padá sníh.
To you, who are the harmonious voice of the East, we send our greetings to Shantiniketan. We send our greetings from Czechoslovakia, where the snow is already falling, from an anxious Europe in the Western world, where even the most highly developed nations are unable to shake each other's hands as brothers would. Regardless of the great distance between our countries, however, we stretch out our hands in brotherly love to you, the poet of wisdom, to you, quiet Shantiniketan, to you, great India, to you, mighty Asia, even to this Asia which is now being destroyed by arms discovered by the West. At this very moment when cannons are roaring against the east and west of our common continent, our Western democracy feebly calls out to you at the turning point of the year. Long live the world, but let it be a world of equal and free people.
Tagore himself sent a telegram in return, which was read out in English on air.
Friends in Czechoslovakia, in the terrible storm of hatred, violence raging over humanity, accept the goodwill of an old idealist who clings to his faith in the common destiny of the East and West and all people on the earth.
When a few months later Czechoslovakia was carved up under the Munich Agreement, Tagore spoke out in defense of the country.
At the time of the Munich crisis in 1938, he wrote an open letter to the World Press, which was also published in English and American newspapers, in which he condemned Nazism and also Western democracies for betraying us. And he expressed in this letter his hope that our country will regain its freedom. Unfortunately, this letter came only when the German influence was so strong in Czech that the letter was not allowed to be published. And the Czech readers were able to read it only in 1945, after the deliberation of Czechoslovakia.
Rabindranath Tagore did not live long enough to see Czechoslovakia liberated from Nazi Germany. He died in Calcutta on August 7, 1941, at the age of 80. After the war, Czechoslovakia's communist regime was initially deeply suspicious of his legacy. But thanks largely to the persistence of Dušan Zbavitel, some of Tagore's poems were republished in the mid-1950s, and interest in the great Indian writer has continued ever since. Now 86, Dr. Zbavitel continues to write about the poet who first inspired his love for India when he was a teenager, and to translate his poetry.
In translating his poetry, one great advantage has been that structure of the Czech language and the Bengali language is very similar. You see, we have very similar sounds, and also the structure of the verse is very similar, so that it was not so difficult to translate it. I even made an experiment in this way. Tagore put many of his poems into songs by giving them the melody. So I tried to translate these very songs in such a way that it could be sung also on these melodies. But of course, this Indian music and even Tagore's music is different from the European one and never got many listeners in Europe.
Unfortunately, we don't have a recording of one of Tagore's songs being sung in Czech. But let's end with the voice of the great poet himself, singing in his native Bengali on a crackly but haunting recording.
কদিন যদি খেলা থেমে যায় মধুরাতে তবু
David Vaughan will be back again next week with a fresh edition of Czech Books. Now, in Science Journal, Christian Falvi brings us the latest news in Czech science and technology.
Nanomembranes can turn wine and anything else into water, keeping tabs on Eli, our friend the superlaser, and 11 days of science coming soon to a Czech city near you. All that coming up in today's Science Journal. Another month of science has come and gone, and I have to say I was sorry at first that I couldn't bring you the story of Czech scientists finding particles moving faster than light. But then we learned about 3D nanomembranes and remembered that we're at the cutting edge of science and technology here in the Czech Republic in any case. The nanomembranes are just the foundation of a machine that will prove a miracle to anyone who needs clean water in order to live, i.e. you. Czech scientists at the Nanotechnology Research Institute have created a device that uses the infinitesimal membranes to filter sterile drinking water out of almost anything fluid, and it does it down to the viral level. Bacteria, salts, various chemicals, even hormones from anticonception pills can be removed. That said, H2O molecules are pretty tiny too. So how is it possible to discerningly separate the wheat from the chaff on the molecular level in what is just a small machine? That is a question best put to the inventor of the device, Petr Carvan, for whom this has been the fruit of lifelong labor.
It's about 29 years now that I've been working on this technology and related things. Right now, there is, of course, a lot of things going on in this field, but the latest output from our institute is a special membrane that is an electronically actively controlled device that, thanks to magnetic ultrasound resonance, cleans itself and has, you could say, an endless lifetime. So that's the latest discovery.
Now, I won't ask you to explain how a nanomembrane is created here, but I would venture to ask how it can differentiate water molecules from a chemical mess.
The nanomembrane is essentially a nanofilter, essentially constructed to allow nothing but water molecules to go through. Nature has been so clever as to make water the smallest liquid molecule we know of. So the water goes through, and the ballast, the waste that sticks to it like viruses, spores, molds, bacteria, chemical toxins and the like, happens to be larger. So the water goes through and the waste is left behind. Actually, it doesn't have to be waste. It could be reused.
And fascinatingly, this doesn't take a huge machine, but something that can actually be used in people's homes.
Fascinating? Well, we're Czechs, and we're used to making something out of nothing for 40 years. There is strength in simplicity. It's a theoretically easy concept. In practice, it was a little more difficult to make, but it has worked well now after much trial, and it has zero consumption, essentially. It consumes so little that in equatorial countries it can be run year-round on solar panels, which is unique.
Obviously, this offers enormous practical benefits. Where in the world is it already in place?
praktickém běhu v podstatě můžu říct dvě oblasti. Jedna je v podstatě rodina.
It's actually up and running in homes where there is no other option for cleaning water, and also in industrial settings like in Marianské Lázně at a company built on a bog where the water is so sour and so polluted that nothing can purify it. We were able to make technologically distilled and drinkable water out of it. We've also been actively negotiating with Dubai. They have systems that are slightly similar to ours, but they have enormous power consumption and have a lifespan of only about a year. So we're also talking to them about desalinating water.
Takže s nimi už aktivně jednáme o tom, že bychom jim vlastně čistili i vlastně zasolenou vodu.
If you follow Czech science news, then you're sure to have heard of our friend Eli, the most powerful laser in the known universe, which will soon enough be a permanent resident in the Czech capital. The construction of this project is quite simply a huge event. The exawatt range laser will bring new understandings in matters as far apart as dying stars and cancer treatment, and already it is bringing together the best minds in many fields to make it a reality. Today we're checking in on the scientific manager for the ELI Beamlines project, Dr. Bedřich Rus, who recently wrapped up an international conference on the project. We last spoke with him about a year and a half ago, so I thought I'd ask how things have been going since then.
Well, we have good advance in the development of very new laser technologies, and we have made projects, high-profile applications of the ultra-short pulses, as well as very fundamental physics studies. So we have made progress in detailing these experiments, in making calculations, and also we've made a lot of progress in the engineering, the design, and the engineering of the laser systems. We are very far in the discussions with our partners in Europe as well as in the US. So the project is going full steam forward, and we hope, let's say, a year from now, we will even be able to show some pictures of some systems already being prototyped and tested.
And you're looking at a start in 2015. As I understand it, you'll have hundreds of employees working there. Is that right?
That's right. Hundreds. We will, in 2015, we will have 250 employees. And then from 2016, we will be having visitors, so there will be around 300 people on the site.
And can you give us a kind of overview of what all those people, all the various jobs those people will be doing?
They will be researchers, they will be technology developers, they will be partners from industry, so it will fulfill the mission in the fundamental research and technology development. So all people coming from these sectors will be present at the site.
I heard you compare the ELI laser to the Hubble telescope in that the Hubble telescope brought together the very best state-of-the-art technology at the time. How will ELI do that?
I like this parable. Well, we are in the phase of designing and testing the first pieces of an endeavor which might be compared, let's say, to the development of the Hubble Space Telescope, which, once put into operation, will hopefully be able to generate very fundamental discoveries like the Hubble Space Telescope. So the period of research will obviously come after being assembled, tested, and deployed. So we are in the phase of designing, testing the facility, and deployment is from now to around 2015, and then from 2016 we will be hopefully in space and making discoveries.
That's it for this edition of Science Journal. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening and see you next month.
Science Journal was written and presented by Christian Falvey, and we'll wind up today's show with another of David Vaughan's popular miniseries from the archives.
In last week's program, we heard about the communist-led government that emerged from Czechoslovakia's elections in May 1946. Although the number of parties allowed to take part had been limited, Czechoslovakia was still a multi-party democracy. But the governing coalition was an uneasy one, with the non-communist parties pushed into ever greater isolation, while the communists, with the weight of the Soviet Union behind them, gained an ever stronger foothold. The situation came to a head in February 1948. The Justice Minister Prokop Drtina, who was not a communist, found out that 8 regional police chiefs had been sacked and replaced by men loyal to the party line. The non-communists in the government insisted that until the decision was reversed, they would not attend cabinet meetings. The communists' response was to launch a huge propaganda campaign, some elements of which still survive in our archives. Here is the head of the revolutionary trade union movement, Antonín Zápotocký, railing against Minister Drtina.
My víme, že je těžko, aby dělníci mnohdy dělali dobré výrobky, když ředitel nestojí za nic.
We know how difficult it is for workers to produce good products when their boss is no good. And it is harder still for judges to pass judgment in the spirit of our people's democracy and our new legal code when the man in charge of justice is trying to sabotage people's democracy. In Zápotocký's speech, we can already hear the aggressive tones of the new political order. In a desperate attempt to turn the tide of events, the non-communists in the government resigned, confident that their resignation would not be accepted by President Edvard Beneš. But the communists reacted immediately by occupying the ministers' offices, and on February the 25th, President Beneš unexpectedly accepted all the ministers' resignations, inadvertently completing the coup that was to lead to 40 years of communist rule. After seeing Beneš at Prague Castle, the Communist Party leader Klement Gottwald made the following historic declaration from a balcony on Wenceslas Square. He declared that the president had approved a new communist government under his leadership.
Právě se vracím za radu od prezidenta.
I have just returned from the castle from seeing the President of the Republic. I can inform you that the president accepted all my proposals exactly as they were laid down. Gottwald's words were greeted by a huge and enthusiastic crowd. Czechoslovakia's experiment with democratic socialism was over. 4 months later, President Beneš resigned, his health already failing. And 3 days after the coup, the former Justice Minister Prokop Drtina attempted suicide by jumping from a window. He survived, and in a later show trial, a communist court sentenced him to 15 years in jail.
David Vaughan's from the archives, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning. You will find the entire series at www.radio.cz, along with all Radio Prague's programs in sound and text. I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Should you like to contact us, our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Pavla Horáková saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.
vous écoutez Radio